Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Well, what can I say? You know, I'm going to give my own tribute and my vote of thanks. And I just want to, you know, this is a song that I like. I can't do justice to it. As you know, I'm not a singer. I'm a preacher. However, I wanted to sing this song myself. You know, the artist that sang this song was one of my favorite all time. It's called Andre Crouch. You know, but I wanted to sing this song myself. I can't sing it like he did, so don't worry about that. You know, but just, you know, I want to just sing it to give praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, how can I say thanks for all the things that you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love to me. Oh, the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am, I never hope to be. I owe it all to you. So I say to God, be the glory. To God, be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he with his blood he has saved me, and with his power he has raised. Sing with me.
Be the glory
has done. Oh, with his blood he has saved me, and with his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Yeah. Oh, just let me live my life and let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I get any praise, let it go to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We has saved me, and with his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Hallelujah, praise God. Help me put hands together for the Lord Jesus. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, help me give the Lord some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Help me give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let the people praise the Lord. Let all the people praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise continually be in my mouth. That's right. So I want to give my testimony and my tribute. See, this is my testimony. Praise the Lord. No one can take it from me. Praise God. You know, I don't know what the Lord's done for you. That's your testimony. But this is mine. Praise the Lord. So I'll give you a short version of my story because of time. But don't worry about it. You know, we have refreshments. We have all kinds of things for people. So, but the first, I may not necessarily go in chronological order, but I'm going to give you some snippets about my story. But first, before I get there, just like my wife said, I want to thank everybody. And you know, when you start mentioning names, there's always a risk that you're going to forget somebody. Statiti Lyle. Statiti Lyle, will you stand up and just wave to the house? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I wanted to especially acknowledge her because it took her several days to get here. You know, she started out from the UK some few days ago, and then she got caught with all the flight cancellations and so forth. But she would not be denied. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so thank you. Thank you for coming. You know, we see so many people here. I see Sister Margaret. I see Sister Bosse. And Sister Tina. Satina, would you stand up and just wave to the house? Yeah, stand up now. Stand up now. Satina Oladele, wave to the house. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. Well, that's my big sister. You know, I wouldn't even say from another mother. I would just say it like that. That's just my big sister. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Adejubas, you know, would you stand up and just wave, you know, from Nigeria? Yeah. Pastor Femi and Sister Eni. We go back long ways. These are some of our travelers. And, of course, my wife has acknowledged, you know, all the others. Sister Grace here, you know, would you stand up and wave to the people? That's Sister Bola's younger sister. And she's here to celebrate with us. And we just have so many people. You know, my good old friend, Brother Alfred Akinyemi, is in the house somewhere. I saw him. Yeah, Brother Alfred, would you just wave? Stand up and just wave. Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. Now, some of these names that I'm calling are just names that we've been together for like forever. You know, forever. You know, so praise the Lord. I'll tell you a little story. You know, about Sister Tina and Sister Maggie. Yeah. You know, one time, many years ago, and you know that, right? You know the story where I'm going. One time, many years ago, we were coming back from some event that we went to do in Zuru. Those of you are from Nigeria. I lived in Lagos, and Zuru was like a million miles away from that place. And so we went there for like a camp meeting, all night camp meeting and crusades and everything. And we didn't sleep, you know. And so we were there, you know, and some of you will remember Brother Sam Adu. He was here last time. He was driving, you know, Sister Tina's husband, you know, Pastor Afolabi Oladele in Nigeria. Many of you know him. Many of you know him very well. You know, we were all in the, you know, in the car, you know, but we had a horrible accident. A horrible accident. In fact, we got to a place where the car somersaulted because of lack of sleep, you know. None of us were sleeping. Night vigil throughout the night, crusade throughout the day, night vigil throughout the night, crusade throughout, you know, all of that. So we had a horrible accident. And the place where the car started somersaulting, it was a village. And some people saw us and they knew because they were telling us later that they saw there being another ghastly accident in that place. In fact, all the people died. All the people in that other accident. So when they saw the car flipping and rolling and flipping, they just assumed we were all dead. So we finally ended up in the bush somewhere. The tires upside down and everything. Blood gushing out everywhere. And the villagers came to help us. We couldn't get out of the seatbelts and so on. You know, the driver and I were in the front, you know, and it was just Brother Sam Adu was driving. And it was just it was an incredible thing. And they came to help us. You know, finally, you know, they said, we thought you all died. We didn't die. Praise the Lord. You know, and then they took us to the hospital, nearby hospital. And then the brethren that were coming from the camp, they came in the van and so forth. When they saw the vehicle, they all put their hands on their head and they were all crying. Because they thought we were all dead. But glory to God, we are all still alive. Hallelujah. And I said, devil, you tried to take me out then. You couldn't do it. And you can't do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's, you know, we gave it names, you know, whatever. We were just funny, Firebrand and all that. You know, we are so, you know, they've been with us forever. My wife just had our baby then. You know, I think Dabby was a baby. I mean, this, where is Dabby? Grown, big, tall man that you see now. Just a little baby then. But my wife stayed at home. She didn't go with us to that event, you know, so. But, you know, those are some of the fond memories, you know. Remember all these memories and so forth, you know, so. Anyway, but let me talk briefly. For those of you, I want to welcome all our clubhouse people. You are here. I mean, those of you who are from out of town, this is our church here. You hear us talk about GMI Church all the time. So this is it right here. Praise the Lord. And I want to talk about this church because this has been a major part of my journey, you know, and a major part of my journey. I want to thank God for Pastor Peter. Pastor Peter, would you stand up and just let the clubhouse people know you? It's Pastor Peter. Yeah. And Pastor Emmanuel, will you stand up? He's in the back. Wave and let everybody know you. Praise the Lord. These two gentlemen, you know, we were partners together when we started ministry 2005. I wanted to say 2005, but yeah, 2005. You know, and there was something that was in our hearts was to preach the gospel. And we didn't want to be just another church. We also wanted to preach the gospel and so on. So, you know, and the Lord, I'm going to cut the story short because it's a long story, but just a few highlights. The Lord has been with us along the journey. And, you know, each one of us has our different skills. And the Lord brought us together and it was just incredible, all the things that we have done. And this building that we have right here, you know, Pastor Emmanuel and Pastor Peter will remember very well. Many of you, too, were here with us when we started, you know, that building at, Greenway Parkway. Many of you were there the first day that we opened. You were helping us put chairs together. You know, we were had electric cord all over the place. I mean, I thought I was in Nigeria because we didn't have electricity. The thing was all over the place. Because the building wasn't finished and we had published the date that we were going to start the church. We actually started the ministry before we started the church. We started the ministry, three of us would go to schools and so forth. It's a long story, but that's how it started. And, you know, we also were doing the hospital ministry and so many things before we actually started the church. And then, but the Lord has brought us all through this journey, you know, up until this point, and the Lord is still helping us. Praise the Lord. I want to introduce to you some other parts of the ministry that you may not know. Some of us may or may not know. Those of you who are here, you know. We have the Phoenix Impact Center. The Phoenix Impact Center and GMI Church, we're kind of together. GMI Church is, you know, of course, our church ministry. The Phoenix Impact Center is our community initiatives ministry, you know, and we serve the community through that, and it's amazing what the Lord has done. Pastor Peter and some amazing folks that work in the, we have a food pantry and all of that, and it's just amazing. And the larger companies that do community initiatives, The Lord has given us grace, especially through Pastor Peter's efforts, to connect with them. And they just load us with all kinds of things that we give away. And we have people that give away these things, you know, every Saturday. You know, just give them away. And sometimes twice a week they come, they bring trucks of food and everything. In the back there, if you want to go see, it's there. We got a food pantry. You know, and that's the part that we're reaching out to the community. We're reaching out to the community. It's one of the things the Lord wanted us to do. When we started the ministry, we started with the homeless shelters. Some of you may remember that. For about 3.5 years, every weekend, we were at the homeless shelter in Phoenix. First time I went there, well, that was not my first time, the homeless shelter. But first time I went to that particular place, I think I shed some tears. Because I was like, people didn't know that there's this stuff exists in America. People are homeless in America, for crying out loud. America. People are homeless. Until this day, people are homeless in America. I mean, you're not talking of some third world country, some bush somewhere. You're talking of the United States of America. And people are homeless. My goodness. You go out during the winters, you see them sleeping on the street, no blankets, nothing. And the Lord began to move on us, and some of our wonderful folks, you know, that were part of the early ministry, they joined us every Saturday. In fact, we bought a bus then just to bus those people. It was like a minivan, 18 to 20 seater or something. Just to bus those people to church every Sunday. We'll go there on Saturday. We say, you see this van here? You want to go to church tomorrow? You come and meet us over here. And they would come. And I want to tell you something. We cannot number, and this is all to the glory of God, because we don't know who they are. We cannot number all the people that have come through this ministry because of all those people. Because, you know, you can't build a church on homeless people. They're not, you know, today they're there, tomorrow they're there. You know, but if you put all those people, you couldn't. This building, and this building is very large. This is all you see. This building is not, what you see here is not what you see. There's a lot more. You couldn't fit all those people in this entire building of all the Lord has done. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Eternity will tell. You know, we don't know what all. And many people, we actually help them reconcile to their families. I remember times we would go to those homeless shelters, and one man walked up to me one day and said, wow. He said, well, you know, I was in your service last week. I didn't remember him because there are just so many people coming and coming. And said, well, you know, what I saw made me want to reconcile to my family. I said, what did you see? Because I don't know what we did. We're just doing our regular service. We're not talking about families. We're just doing stuff. But he said, yeah, I saw everybody, you know, family oriented and everything. And he wanted to reconcile to his family. There were many young folks that the Lord, through this ministry, helped to reconcile. Some people had left home when they were 18, 19. We would help them, get them bus passes, get them home, call their parents, put them on the plane, do this and all. I mean, these were so many parts of the ministry that people didn't never knew. I mean, what you see here when you come on Sundays, maybe it's the nice part, you know. We've got a wonderful praise team. Everybody dress up and sing and so forth. But there is a lot that goes on when people roll up their sleeves. Hallelujah. And I want to thank Pastor Peter especially for that. You know, help us to roll up sleeves in the Phoenix Impact Center. Then we got our, you know, Soul Winners Action Team. That's what we call them. SWAT team. You know, amazing group of people. I go out every blessed Saturday to the communities, you know, to preach the gospel. And I have Pastor John as a fearless leader there. Pastor John, would you stand up and raise your hands to the people? Just wave. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. His wife, Sister Veronica, they are part of that. You know, many people here, you know, we've at one time or the other been part of it. You know, Elder James, you know, you've heard us praying for him. That's his seat over there. He's a permanent, you know, member of that, you know, SWAT team. And he's coming back. Hallelujah. Praise God. And his wife, even before we were organized as a church, his wife and himself, his wife is Sister Alice. Sister Alice here. Sister Alice, would you stand up? Let them know you. Clubhouse people. This is Esther James' wife right here. Praise God. Victor, will you stand up? Everybody knows Victor from Clubhouse. Eh? This is Victor. All right. That's his mom right there. Praise the Lord. I mean, from day one, they were part of the ministry, and they still are, you know, and we love them dearly. They are our family, you know, and I can go on and but there's a few other things I want to say, so let me leave that there. But I want to just thank the church, you know, and one of the things, I want to thank the Lord, actually, but through the church, the Lord has given us grace to do many things. You know, Pastor Emmanuel, Pastor Peter, we've walked together. You know, sometimes some people say, I don't know how you guys work together. I mean, we're from different parts of the country. You know, I'm from Yoruba land. Brother Emmanuel is from Igbo. Igbo Kwelu! And Brother Peter, my dear old friend, I don't even know where he's from. I tease him all the time that he's an alien. You know, I don't know, you know. I don't know. Bro Peter, where are you from? I don't even know where you're from. You know, so, I mean, but look, I mean, these people, we work together, and we have many other ministries. I don't have time to tell you all about them. But of course, you've seen some of the praise team in action here today. Put your hands together for the praise team. Hallelujah. We have the children's ministry. You know, again, Pastor Peter and a group of wonderful people. And Sister Grace, wave your hands to the people there. Clubhouse people, can you see Sister Grace there? Some of you have seen her on Clubhouse, but amazing member of that, you know, of that children's ministry that they do. And some of you may know Sister Lorraine also. Is she Sister Lorraine here? Would you raise your hand? Stand up and raise your hand. The Clubhouse people, Sister Lorraine, she's part of that ministry. And look, everybody, Sister Julia, you all have met them, Sister, you know, you've met, you know, Sister, where is Sister Pearl? You know, I don't know. She's one of my generals, always running around. She's probably doing something to make sure everybody's comfortable afterwards. You know, and look, and some of you, many of you have met my family. Well, they're not all here today, but this is, you know, a good portion of them. Would you all stand and face the people and let them see you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. You know, so they are all here. You know, most of you, you know, they don't need any introduction to most of you. And my amazing wife, she was talking about 50 years. You know, that's part of my story. And I can't. This story cannot be complete if I don't tell that part of it. You know, we've been married now by the grace of God for 48 years. But we were kind of met and together and immediately connected in the ministry for about 2 years. Because the Lord called me into the ministry when I was only 20. One young man asked me yesterday, he said, how did you know the Lord called you? I said, well, I may tell my story tomorrow. I said, the Lord called me into the ministry when I was only 20. And it was shortly after that. And it was even that part of that ministry where we met, you know. And I was conducting a service, Holy Ghost baptism service. We asked people to fast for 3 days and come and receive the Holy Ghost. But that was the thing then. You know, this was early 70s. Come and receive the Holy Ghost with my dear friend, Pastor Roland Akibon. How many of you know Pastor Roland Akibon? Praise the Lord. His wife, Sister Maggie. Sister Maggie, would you wave to the people? Yeah. And that's where my wife came. We were not married, of course, then. She didn't know me. I didn't know her. She came for the service. That's how we met. Now, you hear the story today. And we met. You know, so she came in. I was ministering with Pastor Roland. She was sitting way in the back. There was a lot of people everywhere. I don't know. Why is this person sitting in the back? She looked a bit tired. I went over there. This and that. So anyway, I ended up ministering to her. She received the Holy Ghost and so on and so forth. And then later on, we walked out of the building together and we, you know, walked to the bus stop. Back in those days, we didn't have cars. We didn't even have phones. Walked to the bus stop. Hey, how you doing? What's your name? This and that and so forth. We talked. When she gave me her last name, I said, you're such and such. Are you from such and such family? She said, yes. Is your father such and such? I said, yes. I said, oh. You know, I happen to even know her father, who was a friend of my fathers, we didn't know each other, but the parents knew each other, and I knew her dad somehow. So anyway, we connected, and then from there, later on. And then after a while, all right. So, you know, the rest is history. But I tell you, before we even got married, we were always out and about. And I'll tell just one story. Some of you have heard this story before, but for those who have never heard it, some of the clubhouse people may not have heard it. One of the most notable things that my wife and I did together before we even got married, one day when the Lord would allow us to deliver a madman in Nigeria. Now, when people are homeless, at least back then, I don't know about now, back in the early 70s, if somebody was on the street homeless in Nigeria, they were really crazy. I mean, like mentally sick and deranged and demonic. Because you're never homeless. You have a brother, an uncle, an auntie, a grandma, or this that you can stay with. People are just not homeless in Nigeria. This man was homeless for many years. And he was crazy. He was really crazy. In fact, he lived in there's a place, those of you who are from Nigeria and know Lagos, there's a place around Race Course there. There were some rocks. He lived under those rocks. And it turned out that if anybody passed by that side of the street, this man would jump on them, tear their clothes, beat them up, do all kinds of things. So everybody, when they wanted to pass on that side of the street, they walked over to the other side. Because that was his territory. So one day, my wife and I were going in that direction. And we go around to that place. And I immediately said, let's cross over to the other side. You know. And as soon as I said that, Holy Ghost was in my face. It was like, well, let me say in American language now. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. You go back there and you set the man free. So I told my wife, I said, you stay over here. I got some business to conduct. I'll go over there and I'll be right back. You know, and I went over there. Of course, she followed. Hallelujah. I said, but I told you to stay over there. You know, and she followed. Well, as soon as she followed, we went over there. That man came out like that. Just came out. Come out. You know, and then I can't remember the exact words, but to enact it, I must have said something like, in the name of Jesus, come out of him. Because that's how I used to do those days. In the name of Jesus, come out of him. You foul and unclean spirit, come out of the man. And the man just rolled like this, or just stopped a few inches short of me like that. Rolled, did all kinds of things. I don't know how long he had been there. He fell down. There was this incredible, horrible smell. God, those demons just came out of it. And the man just did some drama like that for a few minutes. And then he rolled his eyes and said, where am I? Raise the Lord. Where am I? And I said, it's a long story, but. So we took him to this place in Obalende, right? Obalende, yeah. So they had this, was it YMCA or Salvation Army or something? YMCA, anyway, they had something there. Was it that the YMCA or Salvation Army or something? She says YMCA, so I'll go with that. We took him there, tried to tell the story. Nobody believed it. He said, okay, fine, just give me some clothes. But nobody believed that story, that this man was on the street crazy for years. And right now, he's in clothes and in his right mind. Hallelujah. So, we got him clothed, dressed up, and so forth. And then, one day, I think the next time we would have fellowship. Back then, it was all fellowship. We didn't have regular churches. It was just fellowship. When the man came to the fellowship, revival broke out. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then one young man jumped up. He said, wow. Brother Yato did that. They used to call me Brother Yato back then. Brother Yato did that. I'm going to go look for some crazy person. That's how revival started. Everybody got up. They wanted to go and look for some crazy people that they would deliver and come and tell their testimony. Praise God. You know, I remember that. I cherish that memory. There are many others, but I'll leave it there. There are some other parts of my story that my wife was not involved. I'll tell one or two real quickly. How I got saved. This story cannot be complete if I don't tell it. Hallelujah. Because that's where my journey began. Now, I was raised in a Christian home, like many of you, but that didn't make me a Christian. Didn't make me a believer. Now, my dad, he got up early in the morning. Everybody in my house prayed early in the morning. Don't care who you are. Don't care if you are a guest. Don't care everybody. You know, I don't want a certain time. And I try to do the same for my kids. They don't like to come to my house and sleep over because they know they're waking up in the morning and they're going to pray. Praise the Lord, you know. So, but not until I was in high school, and I was in high school, we used to call it from 1 through 5, 5 years in high school, then you did this exam. We called it the West African Examination Certificate, something like that. And then you went on to do A-levels, which is kind of similar to a junior college here. When I was in my form 5, I remember the date till this day. These are dates that I actually celebrate. Now, this is the first time I'm really celebrating any big birthday and liking it. Oh, I did one maybe when I was 21. My wife was there, you know. But most of the time, I didn't celebrate birthdays. But I always celebrate 2 dates. October 17th. And I remember one day I mentioned that. Somebody said, oh, that's my birthday. Well, October 17th, 1971. Hallelujah. I remember it to this day, and I remember where I was. I was in Government College, Ibadan, praise God. And then I went to, we had a missionary there that was doing this, you know, she used to come there, you know, and I'm sure, sister, you know, Brother Peter also knew her from Ayekoro or something. Yeah, you know, Kirkpatrick, right? Kirkpatrick was her name. She used to conduct these services. She would come, student union kind of services. So one day, I used to go there. I was a bit religious. But, well, okay, I was never really religious. Cancel that. I never was religious. I was a bit God-fearing, let me say. Because I never really had this religious spirit in me. Never. You know. So I went to this thing. And then one man, she invited to pray. I mean, to preach. He said, I want every one of you to concentrate on receiving your BA. So in my mind, I'm thinking Bachelor of Arts degree. Oh, this is cool, you know. And then he began to talk about born again. Hallelujah. So when he talked about born again, well, you know, it was such a moving service. A lot of people gave their lives to Christ, you know. Pastor Femi Adejuba will remember that room 16. Room 16 in GCI. You know, so anyway, I was one of those people that gave their lives to Christ that day. I wasn't very emotional. There was a lot of emotional people crying, doing all kinds of things. I was looking at them like, you know, what's up with that? Because I understood the message, but I wasn't emotional. I just gave my life to Christ, but I understood the message. But there were two scriptures back then, well, a lot, but I'll give you two scriptures back then that they used to hammer into our heads. All you young people that just come here today and say, give your life to Christ and be saved. They used to hammer two things to your head. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Behold, all things are new. Amen? And all things are passed away. They used to tell us that, you know. And then it will tell us, quote us scriptures from Romans 6, you know, about, you know, sin shall not have dominion over you. They used to make us even sing those things. You know, sin shall not have dominion over you. And so on and so forth. They will tell us about the grace of God, Ephesians 2 and 8, why you are saved, you know, by grace. So, but we knew that, look, if you gave your life to Christ, something's got to be different. So, and then something became different for me, you know. I mean, I used to love to do disco and stuff. When I gave my life to Christ, all of that stuff was gone. And people would look like, what's happening? Well, I had a testimony. Praise the Lord. Fast forward 2 years later, I would come into contact with receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, this part is so critical of my message. I mean, my journey. I have to say it, you know, because until I actually received the Holy Spirit, I was just a Christian. Let me just put it that way. But, you know, some men, some firemen of God came around and were talking to us about receiving the Holy Ghost. And I would go to this Tuesday night fellowship in University of Ibadan. A couple of friends and I would sneak out of the school and go there in the night. And then I come back, I didn't receive the Holy Ghost. Everybody's speaking in tongues and so forth. And they told us that if you didn't speak in tongues, you didn't receive the Holy Ghost. I'm like, well, what's all? So I took one book, you know, by Watchman Nee, you know, Release of the Spirit. And then I locked myself in one room. I was what you call a prefect back in those days. So I had access to all kinds of rooms on college. We lived in campus then, large, large facility. So I went and locked myself in that room one day, and I just prayed throughout the night. I said, Lord, whatever this thing is, pour it down upon me. And I guarantee you, I can't tell you the experience. If you've never experienced it, I can't tell it to you. I can't describe it. I was there all night, all by myself. Nobody laid any hands on me. I was there all night, all by myself. The Lord flooded my soul with kinds of things. I found myself floating in the spirit, speaking in tongues, speaking in all kinds of different languages, and the Lord telling me, showing me things and so forth. And right after that, and that day, I celebrate it till today. That was June 24, 1973. And I still celebrate that day. Right after that, a few days later, the Lord began to show me how to call me into the ministry. 1973. And then fast forward 1 year later, I was in Lagos, and I had the grace of God to do my first, ladies and gentlemen, Row Park in, what's that place in Lagos, Row Park? Yabasai. Row Park in Lagos. My first, I was only 20 years old, my first ever open air crusade. I was standing on stage, preached to people. Praise God. And the Lord showed me that that's what you're going to be doing, you know. And I was only 20 years old. And from that time on, so many other things. You know, that was even before I met my wife. And then many other things and so on and so forth. Well, fast forward, here we are. I have to cut many things out. When I was in the university, many of my colleagues used to tell us that it was youthful exuberance. That's what they said. They said it's youthful exuberance. The thing will pass away. Even some of the older people, even some of our parents, some of those things, youthful exuberance, it will pass away. Well, youthful exuberance, nothing. I am still here, 70 years old today. Hallelujah. And as I am as strong as I was there, like Caleb said, praise the Lord. I can still go in and out by the grace of God. And many years after I left the university, I met one of my classmates in Lagos one day. And this man didn't even remember my name. It was my classmate. I remember his name. And when he said, Jesus saves! Jesus saves! Right there at, you know, CMS, Tinubu area in Lagos, so you know that. Say, Jesus saves! Jesus saves! That's what he was calling me. Because I used to have this every day. I wore this little brooch. I don't know. We don't see those things around anymore. You know, Brother Femi, all the rest of you know this thing. We used to wear all these things from Scripture Union. You know, like Jesus saves and what have you. And this is the way, one way, and all these things. So I had one I wore every day. It just said Jesus saves. So when I'm in the class, they just tell me, Jesus saves. That's what they call me if they don't remember me. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. So he called me, Jesus saves. I said, yeah, you know, has he saved you yet? Praise God. And he was one of the people that used to say youthful exuberance. And I look, we are still here. And in fact, what, this thing I'm telling you is over 40 years ago. And we are still here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So fast forward everything. We are here. You know, one part of my journey that I must tell you, when I came to America with my family in 1983, the reason was to come and attend the great ministry under Neil Frisbee. It was called Capstone Prophetic Ministry. We were part of it in the 70s in Nigeria. We used to get the scrolls and stuff like that. And I figured that one day, it was an, you know, end time message ministry. Some of you have been introduced to it. We even have another room on Clubhouse that my wife is leading, and we join. We call it the Prophetic Scroll Room by Neil Frisbee. We do it on Clubhouse. Some of you have been attending. And, you know, so we came here. I brought my family here so that we could be close, because his headquarters was right here. In beautiful, that's how he used to say, beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. And that's where I got that phrase from. And for 22 years, Now, of course, before I came here, I was already a minister in my own right, you know, but when I came here, I just sat down. Sat down in his ministry. We were doing some things, house fellowship, evangelism here and there. But I sat down in that temple. And for 22 years, I soaked in. I soaked in a lot, you know. And today we have the prophetic scrolls. And I still read them and we still teach from them. And I guarantee you, we'll see even more of those prophecies coming to pass, you know. But beyond the prophecies about what will happen at time, you know, one of the greatest challenges of that ministry at that time was to encourage us to endeavor to become a part of the overcomers, those that will be of the first fruits within. And we wanted to be part of that. I mean, nobody, you didn't want to be left alone. Hallelujah. So for many years we did, and it has helped to shape many parts of my life. Well, fast forward again many years. Here we are at GMI Church. GMI Church, this is now a big part of our ministry, big part of my life. My wife, she's been here to support, and these wonderful men and their wives too are here that you know, that I've talked about. And many of our other brethren are here. And then how did Working with God come about? Well, in 2019, I started to think about, I was telling my wife, look, I got to do more. You know what I mean? I can't just go to church on Sundays, preach, you know. And I didn't preach every Sunday. We have all these wonderful men. You saw them when they come out here. You know, we take turns and do a few things, midweek service. But I got, you know, I got more. And the Lord kept putting, and the Lord is wonderful like that, how he does things. And I kept thinking about it, praying about it. And every year, you know, for many years, as far as I can remember, towards the end of the year, I would take many days of just seeking the Lord and say, Lord, what's going on? What would you have? And so on. You know, and I was wondering about it for a long time. And then COVID came, and I was still wondering about it. And the Lord didn't tell me point blank. But I tell you something. There are times the Lord may not tell you something point blank, but we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Some of you will understand that. My good friend, Brother Alfred, he understands that. We always talk about that together. We have the mind of Christ. And when you have the mind of Christ, there are some things he will drop in your mind, different than he may tell you some other way, but you have the mind of Christ. So anyway, one thing led to another, one thing led to another. My wife was saying, well, maybe we'll go on Facebook. I said, no, I hate Facebook. I don't want to be on camera. I hate camera. Some of you don't know it. I don't like to be on camera. I hate it. You know, so because you got to be conscious that you look good and all these things. You know, I just want to preach my message. I don't want to be conscious, you know. So, and then one day, a couple years later, my lovely daughter Olunife here. Olunife, wave to them. You know her. Yeah. She introduced her mother to Clubhouse. Now, Clubhouse is a drop-in audio that you can download on your phone. It's called clubhouse.com. You know, they started out with iPhones. They're now on Android. Been on there now for years. They created the app during the pandemic. It wasn't created as a Christian thing. People that created it, maybe don't even know the Lord. But it fell into the hands of both good and evil users of it. They do anything they want with it. So anyway, one day Nifi introduced to her mom Clubhouse. She's trying to get me that. Because I don't like social media. I don't do social media. Hello? I don't. The only time I go on social media is when I want to post an event that GMI is having. GMI is having an event. I'll go and do event thing and so forth. You know, but yeah, I don't like the social media thing. Some people live their lives on social media. That's not me. I don't like that. So anyway, but one day, she was listening to this thing. My wife has this thing she does, you know. Sometimes she'll be playing Christian music in the house. The kids will know about it. Sometimes she'll be listening to something and put it on so that you can hear. So she put on this thing. Listen to the thing by yourself only. Why do you have to put it on? So she'll put on this thing. You know, she'll put it on speaker. She'll be in the kitchen, you know, minding her business. The Bible says that there might be one even without conversation. You know, sometimes you just win them over. So she put on this thing, and I was kind of listening. Pretending that I wasn't listening. But I'm in my office. She's in the kitchen. I turn this thing on. I'm pretending that I'm not listening. I'm listening. And then the next thing I hear, I mean, this group, they're on Clubhouse. I didn't know it was Clubhouse then. They are doing a Bible study on the book of Acts. They're taking Acts one chapter every day for the month. And then at the end of the thing, as if that was not even enough, at the end of the thing, they are calling people to give their lives to Christ. I'm like, are you kidding me? On social media? I thought it was social media. People giving their lives to Christ, I mean, hallelujah. That has always been my first love, is preaching the gospel. Be my first love, number one. You know, so I said, I got to check this thing out. So that's how I checked it out. And said, well, Jen, my daughter tried to help me figure it out. My wife, they tried to help me figure it out. I'm like, nah, I don't know. You know. And then finally, I joined and went to a few places. I didn't really like what I heard. Went here, went here. One of them I liked. I stayed there for a while. And afterwards, then the Lord began to, through the mind of Christ, I now realized that, look, you can actually be on Clubhouse without being on video. I'm like, my goodness, this thing is great. I mean, I can be in my pajamas if I like. I can be in the kitchen. People can be talking in my background. They can't even hear me unless I go on stage. I'm like, this is great. So once I figured it out, I even went to some classes on Clubhouse to try to figure out how to use it. The Lord began to show me that maybe this is that thing you've been praying for. I started to think about it. So one day, I'm like, my wife is always, this is part of my story, and I'll be done in about 5 minutes. My wife, prayer warrior, the kids know her. She'll get up at 2 a.m., wailing women. She'll get up at 3 a.m. She'll get up at this one. I'm like, don't mess with my sleep. Because for me, I can stay up to 3 a.m. But when I go to sleep, don't you dare mess with my sleep. Because if you mess with my sleep, I can't sleep again when I wake up. But she will get up at 2 a.m. And she got up, I will get me up. What is all this? You know? So she was doing the prayer thing and so forth. Now, that's important for one reason. Because when the Lord finally made me realize that I've got to do this thing, I realized I have to really do it early in the morning. Because if I wait till the evening, my work is unpredictable. You know, I mean, IT, I don't talk much about my work. In fact, sometimes somebody here at the church was asking me, they didn't know that. They said, oh, I thought you were just a pastor. I said, pastor is a great work. Hallelujah. Don't belittle it like that. You say, well, yeah. When you found out I was in technology and I knew a few things, you know, like, wow. You know, so, well, I don't talk about that part. Don't worry about it. But my work can be unpredictable at times. So I don't like to do those things in the evening. I just try to get them out of the way in the morning. When I realize to get them out of the way in the morning, when I have to be at work, sometimes early, 7, 8 o'clock, I got to start early. That's where the thing with my wife came in. So I looked at my wife and said, well, if she can do it, I can do it. Praise the Lord. That's always my thing. I think my son was talking about that yesterday. It's like, if you can do it, I can do it. If my wife can get up at whatever time, then I can get up at whatever time. And I said, Lord, she can do it, I can do it. And so, but I needed help. I needed alarm and all these things. You know. But after a while, I didn't need the alarm. Sometimes I get up before her now. Hallelujah! Praise God. And today, to do our 5 a.m. morning room, first we have to do her 4:30 a.m. Arizona time, Sarah's daughter's prayer room. Hallelujah! Some of you are in Sarah's daughter's, praise the Lord. At first I wasn't joining. But then I found out that, look, in order for me to go to do a ministry 5 a.m. on Clubhouse, and you know I'm a long-winded preacher. Some of you know that, right? If I'm going to be there for 2 hours and do all these things, I need to take care of my house first. So my wife and I, we used to pray like around 7:30 in the morning and 7 o'clock before. So now we have to move our prayer time to 4 a.m. so that we can do our thing before her 4:30 thing. And then in order for me to get ready for that 4 a.m., I have to wake up at 3:30. In fact, after a while, I set my clock back to 3:25. Hallelujah. Get another 5 minutes extra. Well, of course, sometimes I hit the snooze button. Hallelujah. Snooze! But, you know, hey, look, snooze or no snooze, I eventually drag myself out of that bed and get there. And, you know, that's the story of how the Clubhouse thing. And praise God. And what? I think that battery went out. Why walking with God? Well, walking with God was because Enoch had to be one of my favorite characters in that Bible. Not many things are said about him, but he was translated that he should not see death. Hallelujah. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to be. And God began to show me many things about walking with God. And then I look back and I see that my journey has actually been one of walking with God. Praise God. So that's how the walking with God came about. And I want to welcome all our walking with God people. Give yourselves a round of applause and everybody help us welcome them. All right. Now, there are several walking with God people that came from out of town. I want you to stand up, if you would please, and let the GMI folks give you the GMI lovely welcome. Come on now, everybody from Clubhouse. Yeah, yeah. All right, GMI folks, come and love on them a bit. Yeah, get up and love on them. Praise God. Yeah, stand up while they are greeting you. I want everybody to get around, you know, for a few minutes. Everybody, walk around and greet everybody for a few minutes. And especially these folks, many of them, I'll tell you where they came from in a minute. My wife already did. Many of them came from many different places. So just walk around, shake their hands for a few minutes. Praise the Lord. And where is that our hospitality team anyway? Where are they? Give these folks a nice, warm welcome. Praise the Lord. Yeah. We love every one of you. Thank you. Thank you for joining. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's take our seats real quick. And the family can vacate the front rows. Family can vacate the front row. Go back to your regular seats. I just want to do a quick thing. I want all the Clubhouse folks, especially those that came from out of town. We have some of them in-house. Some people are members of GMI and are also members of that. But I want to recognize them real quick. So those of you that came from out of town and you are part of our Walking with God Clubhouse family, would you come and sit in this front row, please? Yeah, let's do it real quickly. I know when we do the greeting thing, talking continues. But let's sit down. Sit down, everybody, for a few minutes. I'm not done yet. So come up here. Walking. Don't let me call you out, Sister Renita. And don't let me call you out, Sister Sentan. I might call you out now. Come up here. Come and sit down up here in front of me. And bring your daughter Aria also, you know. Come up here. Yeah. Come on here. Yeah. Yeah, I see Brother Raphael. Where is Duke? Yeah. Where is Sue? Where is Barakat? Where are the rest of them? Come up here. Let's do it quickly. Quickly. I just have 2 more minutes to do this. Just want to recognize them real quick. Don't be shy now. I know you guys, when you go to a new church, you don't like to sit in the front. I don't too. I always sit in the back because that way you can sneak out of the back. When I go to a new church or go to a church, sometimes they see me when I'm visiting. Say, oh, pastor, come and sit. Don't leave me alone. Let me sit in the back because that way I can just sneak out of the back. But when you are sitting in front, you cannot sneak out. So Sister Titilayo, come and sit here. You can sit on that side also. I just want to honor people. You can sit here also. You can sit. I just want to honor these people. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Many of these people, well, except maybe Sister Titilayo and Praise. Praise is Pastor Tokes, Oshokoya's daughter. Praise, would you stand up and raise your hand? Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, except maybe those two people. Maybe they knew me from Adam. All these wonderful people here, they didn't know me from Adam. That's why I just want to honor them. The only thing is, they met us online through the Walking with God on Clubhouse platform. And some of them, it's only been like 5 months, 6 months, you know. And many of them traveled from different places. I mean, there's Lola from Philadelphia. You know, there's Brother Raphael from Canada. There you from, is it Florida or? The Minneapolis collection. Sister Maggie. That's right. Why should I forget that? She and Sister Maggie met in Minneapolis. You see, they even met, you see, because they met online, they met in person. And so all these wonderful people that came, I just want to honor and appreciate you. Let's put our hands, a round of applause to them. Praise the Lord. I have other friends also that came from out of town. I've already recognized them. They know me from forever. You know, it's like Brother Alfred. If I'm doing something, he has to be there. You know, Statina, people, Samagi, you know. It's not that you are not special, but these are people who have not even known me, you know, and they are here. So I just honor them. I honor all of you too. Thank you all very much. In a minute, I'm going to turn it over to my daughter for testimonies. I'm done. Sorry, we ran a little long. Our services are not long, usually this long, but today was a special night. Day from last night. And I want to thank all the people that celebrated with, they're not all here from yesterday. I thank my family, my wife, my lovely daughters, my sons, my son-in-laws, my grandchildren. They were all just absolutely amazing. And how many of you liked the hall when you saw it yesterday? Praise the Lord. Let me bring my daughters, the lovely Sister Tubi. She's the one that's saying, oh, she wants to talk to her. Well, she's the master planner. And my other daughter, Nifi, also, they like to walk in the background and do so many things. You know, and we have some local people from Clubhouse here as well. We'll recognize you and welcome you. Sister Nina, would you wave to the house? Praise the Lord. And there are many other people here. Sister Alexis, where is she? Somewhere. And they came with their families. So God bless you. I've taken enough time. Let's go on. We have to do offering. Oh, I forgot about that. They told me we have to do offering. Oh, praise the Lord. Bring the praise team up.
Praise team, please.
We make a miracle walk, promise keep a light in the darkness. My God, there is who you are. We make a miracle walk, promise keep a light in the darkness. My God, there is who you are. Thank you.